Hey, this is Nikki, co-host of the Floor Recap podcast. Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out all of our shows.
This is the HopeCast Network, stories and shows you want to listen to.
Welcome. Come on in. Take a seat. Happy to have you. Now, I did call you cellmate, not to be confused with soulmate, but we could be soulmates too. Welcome to the Heart Conviction Podcast on the HopeCast Network, episode 25. That's a nice number. I'm your host, Nina Palmer. Thanks for coming back. I was afraid that we scared you off, but I think you're one of us now. Welcome. I am very, very, very happy to be here. I am recording very late tonight. I am drinking a cup of coffee. Listen, we are not above a midnight cup of coffee over here. I'm gonna take a sip right this instant. And I'm ready to go. I was just blaring Kanye, chugging down coffee. I have the most interesting smell to me right now. I'm getting ready to go to New York City tomorrow. A little quickie trip for a lot of reasons. Most excited to see my college bestie, and I just have all the things I still got to do. I got to pack. I got to set the house up for me to be gone. And I'll tell you, my husband is the kindest if I want to go anywhere, travel, do anything. But you know what I do to really sweeten the deal? I cook for him before I go. I load that fridge up with just meals and dishes and casseroles and breakfasts, and I got it all laid out. Men are easy. I'm telling you, if there's conflict, you just got to cook. And you, that can sound antiquated. You can wrestle with it. It works. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm like, hey, babe, I got you locked and loaded with food. And he's like, love you. Have fun. And then because I'm a cheapskate, I bought clearance dish soap from the fall, and it was pumpkin spice Dawn soap. I don't know how we feel about that. I don't personally know how I feel about that. I bought it because it was cheap. The scent didn't matter. And so I was just making trays of meatloaf and then cleaning with pumpkin spice soap. So now I kind of smell like oniony pumpkin. So I don't know, just giving you a little scent, a little scratch and sniff for this episode. Anyway, welcome in. Welcome to our love series. We were going to do the love series just for the month of February. So it would mean we'd almost be over. It's extended till March. Truth be told, it's extended for the rest of our life because we could talk about love forever. I was trying to make a plan, a lesson plan, so to speak, of how we were going to talk about love and just all the angles to love. And I was like, I cannot be limited to 4 episodes. I can't. So it's extended, and we might get lucky and it might go through April. Who knows? Speaking of soulmates, I'm going to tell you, I've been breadcrumbing us, and is this the day that the Lord has made or what? Because we're over here getting a hold of our favorite cellies. I'm going to leave that there. We have a very, very exciting guest already recorded with her, and I can't wait to get that episode out. You've been asking for her. That's the hint I'm going to give you. Now, I'll tell you who it's not. And this came up in our conversation. It's not Vicky. Vicky from the show 60 Days In. If you watched, you know, Vicky was undoubtedly one of my favorite cellmates while I was in jail. And I was like thinking about it. And I was like, I miss her so much. I can't stand it. And I see the clips of her, and I just like, I like hurt because I miss her so much. She was hysterical. She was hilarious. She was so full of joy, so happy to talk, a childlike wonder to her. If you watch the show, you know. And she was so just hysterical. They kind of showed these little like candid clips of her on some of the YouTube clips of the show. And she's just so herself. She's so authentic. And we had just the most precious time together. So her name is Vicky Gunther. G-U-N, I think, T-H-E-R. She was on the show 60 days in with me in jail the whole time. I loved her and she was hysterical and I can't find her to save my life. I don't know where she is. So this is a call. If you know where Vicky is, I am looking for her. She's officially on my radar. I am excellent at finding people. I can make a buck off finding people if you know my work history. we're going to find her. So Vicky, I'm on to you. I'm trying to sniff you out. So if anybody knows her, she's short. She's on the show. At one point, she had red hair. She'd been homeless. She had a boyfriend. His name was James. I don't know his last name. A dog named Tinkerbell. Do you know that? Watch that be my lead. And I met her in Salt Lake City in Utah. But I know that she has family quite all over. So if you know her, if you know where she is, DM me, send me a message, email me, send me a smoke signal, bang on my door. We're looking for Vicky. Okay. I look forward to cellmate episodes coming very soon. Let's see. Have y'all been watching the Olympics? Oh my goodness. The Olympics are Christmas for me. There is nothing in this world that makes me feel worse about myself than the Olympics, and I love it. I rethink every single one of my life choices when I watch them. I can feel so good about myself, and then I will watch an episode of the Olympics, and I'm like, okay, I should be flinging off mountain cliffs in skis, doing flips, doing somersaults, and landing. Like, I went wrong somewhere. Does anybody else feel like that at all? Anybody? I watch it and I could almost have tears in my eyes and I'm like, I should have been a figure skater. You guys, I should have been a figure skater. It was so fun to watch that girl, the American girl, when I forget her name, like Lucy Liu or Lulu Lee Lee La La, the cutie patootie, really young. She reminds me of my goddaughter, Skylar. She was so spunky and so herself. Okay, I'm going to look up her name. I took a video of her and I've watched it so many times. I was so happy for her. I was like, she's so precious and winning. Okay, let me look her up. Oh, here she is. I think her name is Elsa Liu. She was so cute. So happy for them. Some of them are just so, the snowboarders are wild. It's just been really fun. I hope y'all watch it. Every single time I tune in, which is multiple times in the day, I think, oh, I'm so glad I saw this one. I'm so glad I saw this one. This one was so exciting. This one was so good. We had a Olympic opening ceremony party. That was a blast. We got represented a different country. We decorated our house. We have like every nation's flag strung from my ceiling right now. I told my husband, can we just leave it up full time? Let's pray for every flag. It's like a lovely little decoration. I don't want to take it down. So I don't know if you watch Olympics. It's so fun. I've officially put it on my bucket list to go. I think it's in California next time. I'm going to go. So if anybody else wants to go, hit me up. Let me know. I hope you've been watching it and self-reflecting on what a loser we all are. The fact that you are not a professional snowboarder is got us all disappointed. If I could take it back, if my biggest life regret is not being an Olympian. I'm not kidding you. I know I'd hate that. I would not be able to wake up at 5 a.m. to like work out for 13 and a half hours. I am brutally aware of that. But there is a part of me that's like, God, parents, why were you not making me ski at 2? Like, golly, what were we doing? We were going to the Golden Corral. I should have been at hockey practice. All right, let's get on to our love series. So today we're going to talk about self-love. And it is just one of those topics that we could go over 100 times over again. It never gets old. It's always needed. And yet, I think we get bored because it can be so cliche. So this is not going to be the kind of episode where I encourage you to just like encourage yourself and like love yourself. It's not that. I want to talk about the logistics of it. Let's get down to the bones of it. And in the past, I'd say 6 months, I have had a huge realization when it comes to self-love and how I forgive throughout that. And it has been a pivot for me. But before we do that, on the topic of self-love, we have a little touch base. I've already recorded this, so we're just going to get into the conversation with our friend on here, Lisa. My friend Lisa, I counsel her, or mentor, you might say, and she came to me a while ago, and we had her on the show before, and she was telling us about the changes that she was going to make in her life, and she has been so gracious to allow us to continue and follow her on her progress. So I have a little interview here we're going to insert, and then we'll get on to our subject of self-love.
We have one of our reoccurring guests back on. You have heard her before tell her story. I would say at this point, it's been about 2 months ago, and it's a good friend of mine, Lisa, and she has just been the truest testament of what self-reflection looks like and has allowed us to go through the process of it with her when she reached out to me and said, hey, there's some things that I really like to change and I need some accountability. So when we talked to her last, she had a list of things that she read to us that she was looking to improve. And we have been in constant communication working on those things. And she has a little update for us. So hi, Lisa, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Okay. So the last time we talked, you reached out to me and had a list of things, and we had decided that first and foremost, we needed to focus on weight and health. And you agree to that. And why did we kind of decide that?
Mostly because the weight loss and the confidence building was kind of the most important thing that played into all the other things as well. Also, to help my daughter be an example for my daughter, because she's 14. Weight issues are kind of a generational thing. So I wanted to set a good example for her so she doesn't have the same problems that I do when she gets older.
Yeah, we decided to work on that old temple and go ahead and break off some of those generational curses, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so give us an update. You were here probably 2 months ago or so, and it has been a bit of a roller coaster, if you will, but give us a little rundown of the series of emotions you've been through and this and the choices you've made.
Okay. Yeah, it was in December, so it's been 2 months, if not a little bit longer than that. And at the beginning of January, I signed up for a 90-day challenge that gives you like a meal plan to follow and exercises to do. And I started that, and I did pretty good for the first couple of weeks. I didn't do the exercising because I was trying to just focus on the nutrition and not try to overwhelm myself from the jump. So just did the nutrition, and then I got sick. So I fell off the wagon a little bit with my nutrition, and it's actually been a struggle since then up until this week, and never really worked out until this past week. Nina is a very, very good accountability partner. But if you decide to reach out to her for accountability, she's going to really hold you accountable. You would text me every day, did you work out? Did you work out? I'm like, no, I don't want to work out. And then I had kind of a, I guess, a breakthrough moment last week. I went to the gym finally. And when I walked in there, it was like 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So there were a lot of people in there. And I do struggle with some gym anxiety. Just feeling like I'm going to be judged because I'm, you know, not fit and not where a lot of the people in there are in their journey. And it was a packed gym. And I immediately, when I got in there, I was anxious. I was nervous. I was overstimulated. I started texting you. I was saying, I'm anxious. I'm overstimulated.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. But I pushed through. I finished that workout that night, and I was kind of just like, I'm not going to the gym ever again. And that night into the next day, I felt really heavy and like depressed. And then when we had our call, you prayed for me and you asked me a lot of really tough questions, and I remember just like boohoo crying, and but it actually did make me feel better when I got the tears out.
Yeah.
But then the next day, it was that day. I decided to go home and work out. I did a little video. And then the next day I went to the gym. Mm-hmm. And it was during the day on a Saturday. So
yeah, that was amazing.
Again.
Yeah. You had sworn it off that night. Was like, you were like, I can't do the gym.
I was like, I'm totally not going to the gym ever again. And then 2 days later I went. So that was pretty big. And then this week I've been on track with my nutrition again. So Jeff definitely realizing that this is really a journey, and mm-hmm. almost instead of referring to it as a journey, I'm kind of referring to it as more of a battle now.
Because
it is very spiritual. Mm-hmm. Because it's like I was texting you that night and I was telling you I could feel the enemy mm-hmm. at the gym telling me like, see, you can't do this. You're not this person. You know, you're fat. You're not fit. You're not healthy. He was feeding me a lot of lies. That he knows that I've always believed, you know, pretty much all my life that he's spoken over me. And I think that's why I was just so heavy, because it was like I felt defeated and I wanted to give up. I didn't want to keep going. Mm-hmm. But I'm thankful for you and that call that we had, because even though I was kind of being really short and wasn't really answering your questions, at the end of it, when you prayed for me and I got to get those tears out, I was like, I don't know, it was just crazy. I could feel God with me, like telling mm-hmm. me that he was with me and that, you know, who I was. You know, I'm a new creation. I am not who I was in the past. And I was like, that day I told you, I was like, I don't want to claim a breakthrough yet. I don't want to I don't want to say that I am at a breakthrough when I don't really know if I am going to, like, if I am really going to do it, but I've done it since then. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But it has been definitely a roller coaster ride.
Well, I'm just really proud of you because you've been really honest through it all. And it's, how do I say it? Like, when we want to take on anything, and I need to apply this into some areas of my life too, it's like the first time we get stuck or there's a roadblock or we feel like it's too hard or we feel like we can't make it, it doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean that's the end all or this is what it is or I just can't do it. It just means it sucks right then. It means it's hard right now.
Yeah.
It just sucks right now. And it doesn't mean that there isn't something to come. And you have been at, you know, a place that felt like, dang, I hope she doesn't give up. But what happens if we give up? Then that's it. Then you're stuck where you've always been stuck. And so I think life was kind of made to be really tough. So welcome to life.
Yeah.
As soon as we accept that, things seem to get better.
Yeah. At least a little bit at a time until you run into the next thing.
Yeah. What's changed the most in how you've been eating lately, or what have you learned about nutrition and eating through the program you've been on? Because you're doing like the macros and the, what is it?
Yeah, the macros, tracking the macros and staying under a certain calorie deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm still in a learning process, but I've basically been eating mostly protein, vegetables. I have been eating carbs. You know, a lot of people tell you don't eat carbs. Carbs are the devil. So I have been eating some carbs because our body needs them. Mm-hmm. And then also if there's a day where I want to have a cookie, instead of having that mindset of cookies are bad, I can't have cookies. Mm-hmm. I just allow myself to have one and just make sure that I don't overindulge on it.
That's right.
So just trying to...
eating a cookie would have looked like what for you?
I probably would have ate like a whole pack of cookies, and I would have done it so fast because I felt like it was wrong and I was trying to hide it from... I don't know who, myself, my daughter, whoever, or God, who knows. But I was like, all right, I want it. I'm going to eat it so fast that I'm not even going to enjoy it. It's not even going to satisfy that craving. And then I would feel a lot of shame afterwards mm-hmm. and like guilt. Mm-hmm. why, like, I, you know, feeling like a failure basically because I ate a cookie or a pack of cookies.
And what does it look like now?
I just have, you know, one or two or whatever and move on with my life. I don't beat myself up over it. So I think that's been a really positive part of this experience too, is learning. Sorry, my cat's getting in the way.
Oh, I love a cat. I love when a cat wants to
learning how to fix my relationship with food.
There we
instead
go.
Instead of thinking, yeah, that's what my main focus is right now.
That's big. That's really good. And then when it came to working out, we were kind of uncovering something that you were having, not just wanting to put it off or not just a disdain for working out, but you were having kind of an emotional reaction to working out, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And we kind of thought maybe there might be some deeper stuff there, some childhood rooted stuff, some trauma related stuff, some mental headspaces that we get ourselves into, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we're trying to navigate that.
Yes. We're focusing on that now.
So once upon a time, we would have been like, okay, just try to do this. And if it works, it works, and go to the gym and go to a class and da 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 da. And it's just not that simple. And I think that goes for a lot of people also. They think, well, I'm just not somebody who can claim fitness for my life. That's just not for me. But really, it's because they need spiritual breakthrough.
Yeah.
And you felt like in your prayer life too, God was saying things to you like, hey, you need me through this.
Yeah, because I had talked to a online coach who would basically be an accountability partner, would teach me what to eat, what workouts to do. So it was another person that was going to fix all my problems. And I talked to her. She was great. I'm not throwing any shade at her, but she was expensive. At the end of the call, it was like, this is $3,000 or more dollars. And I'm just like, I just don't have it. I was like, let me think about it. Let me look at my, you know, budget. And I was looking at it. I was running numbers. I was like, I might be able to make this work, but it would, maybe I could have, but I don't think so. Like realistically, no, it wasn't going to fit. And I remember just praying about it. And I heard God say, like, you don't need all these other people and other things. You just need me. You need to, you know, lean on me and trust me through the process.
That's right.
So that was my answer. That was like, no, Lisa, stop trying to figure out how you can pay for this. So.
Yeah, we're really getting to this place where it's like, okay, time for hard work. Like nobody has a one-stop shop fix. This is not going to you're not going to find the secret portal to perfect wellness. It's like,
you're going to have to fight the battle. Yeah.
And we're kind of using what you had mentioned before about your daughter as kind of inspiration through this too, because naturally she started picking up some of your new good habits.
Yeah. She's ordering the healthier option on the menu. She likes to go to the gym. She's also been like another really good accountability partner.
That's incredible because she's going to pick up your habits no matter what. We are 100% influenced by who we are around, and you're making these childhood memories of hers. And I do believe, and I speak this over your life and her life, that there's going to be this pivot for her. And she goes, you know, we lived this way and then things changed and we got healthy, and you're going to affect her. You're going to affect her genetics. You're going to affect, I learned in college that our weight affects our fertility and the eggs in us and all those things. And you're now affecting your grandkids. Is that crazy? Like, all that matters.
Yeah.
You're like, grandkids. I'm not a grandma.
We don't want to think about that right now.
It's just really cool because, you know, you want a life of happiness. You want a life where you feel good. You want a life where God can fully use you living in the body that you live in. And, you know, you're thinking about maybe trying to get married one day. So it's like, why don't all those things deserve the best version of you?
Yeah, for sure.
You do, right? What's been your biggest like takeaway these last couple of weeks? What got you through? What's your biggest achievement? What inspired you? What comes to mind?
Just not giving up when it feels hard. Because there's going to be days where it's going to feel hard. There's going to be days where I don't want to do it. And even on the days where I might mess up and have a day where I cheat or whatever, that doesn't mean that I just stop. I have to keep going, because stopping's not going to get me any closer to my goals. Stopping's not going to help me become healthier. Stopping's not going to show my daughter. That's not setting a good example for my daughter, to show her that, okay, when things get tough for my mom, she just stops. Uh-huh. I don't want her to do that, you know, growing up, going into high school and, you know, college and whatever she's going to do whenever she gets older. So definitely not giving up, and just trying to really focus and lean in on God. And whenever, you know, whenever we are weak, he is strong. So just leaning on him for strength whenever I feel like I want to give up.
And honestly, obedience. You know, sometimes I get the job done if I think I'm just doing out of obedience.
Yeah.
You've been doing really good. And what I was the most proud of you about is we entered in, okay, this is the date I'm going to start dieting, working out. And it took you a good, 3 weeks until you wanted to work out?
Yeah.
But now we have a goal right now of working out 3 times a week, and you did last week, and you have already worked out once or twice this week?
Once. We're going probably once I get off of here, we're going to go today. So
look at you. And it was like that night you were like, never again. You were like, maybe I'll work out at home. I mean, it was like pulling teeth out of you. I was like, it's time to work out. We got to move. We got to get, we got to step. And you're like, I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. And some of those days where you texted me, I was like, oh, Nina's texting me again. Like, oh, no.
I think a lot of people say that when I text them.
No.
But that's okay.
You were just doing, I even said something to my mom about it. I was like, you know, I know Nina's trying to help me, but like I'm over here. I think one night I was just like stressed out about work and you were texting me and she's like, well, she's just trying to encourage you. I'm like, I know.
I'm following up with what you signed up for. And when you get yourself into a healthier lifestyle routine, it's hard right now because it feels foreign. It's hard right now because it doesn't seem to flow, because it's like you're kind of forcing it right now. But you will get yourself to a place where it incorporates into your life, into your schedule, where it's lighter, where it's easier, where you can maybe semi enjoy it or see the perks in it or look for it, or you'll start to feel better about it, you know? And I'm just really proud of you for that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, good job.
Really appreciate you and all your help. So
you're welcome. Now, you've also felt implied, kind of maybe even like a calling. You started a TikTok about your journey. Do you want to plug it?
I don't even know what my TikTok name is.
You want to look it up?
It's, Lisa K. Grillo.
On TikTok?
I don't. Yeah.
Do you want people to follow you yet? Yeah, or do you want me to edit this out?
I mean, no, they can. They can if they want to. I still don't even know what I'm doing with it. But I just feel like that's going to be another layer of accountability to make myself stick to it and also share my experience with other people and try to encourage other people. And I don't know, it just felt like God wanted me to make a video and start documenting it. So here we are.
You did a good job. And you told your story on it. What was one of your homework assignments this week? The funny one. Or last week.
to watch an episode of 600 Pound Life or 1000 Pound Sisters.
And that was a little touch base with Lisa. Our call got cut off early, right as we were talking about 1000 Pound Sisters, but you get the drift. We love that show. We love the Slayton sisters. And it was just, we just had such a good time talking about that episode too. We love reality TV. Okay. I just saw this TikTok this week and she was like, People who watch reality TV are the most intelligent people I know. And I was like, period. I sent it to so many people. So I hope you enjoyed that touch base with Lisa. And it's just been really fun to follow her. And I hope you get something from these simple conversations. It's really fun to watch people grow and improve and have these realizations, these aha moments, these breakthroughs with God. And I hope that you just feel invested into her story. I also hope it's an example of how we're to love people, encourage them, and mentor them, which all leads us into our topic of today of self-love. But before we do that, I had said that I would read somebody's feedback that they gave me. It's from TikTok. Her TikTok name is Pepper Aubrey's Version. What a name. I was trying to figure out what that could even allude to, and I don't know. But I made the dumbest TikTok about a toilet paper roll, and she commented on it. Hey, girl, I just watched your season of 60 Days In, and your compassion is so beautiful and will take you so far. It was such a breath of fresh air to see. In a genuinely kind person in the big 2026. Keep being awesome, girly. I said, thank you. I said, would you mind if I shared this on my podcast? She said, absolutely. You were my fave the whole season, and I would be honored. So shout out to you, Aubrey's Version, Pepper Aubrey Version. Thanks for such kind words and such a kind of fun, unique, big 2026 message. I appreciate you, girl. You feel like my kind of people and you're my favorite too. So told you I'd read that out. So shout out to you. And that all plugs into, can we love each other? Can we encourage each other? Can we walk each other through this? Can we do that? Yes. But first you have to love yourself. How's that song go? You should go and love yourself. I love that song. Okay, so let's talk about self-love. This topic can get cliche so quick, and we're not going to go there. We're not going to do it. But the biggest motive in my desire to have this podcast is so that you have this source to plug into, that you know that you're going to go and receive encouragement, have a laugh, self-reflect, maybe learn something you didn't know, and that you're going to gain this big picture of life and healing and meaning and Christ and who you are. And this pretty torturous thing called life becomes manageable because there's reason in the suffering and there's thought in the hurt and there's not just this kind of surface level success. There's emotional success and internal success. And I live for stuff like that. And to really achieve this peace where there's even success in the suffering. So that's what this all is. And that's why I talk a lot about self-reflection on here. I'm still working on those lists that we made. I mean, we talked about self-reflecting in small areas first. And so I'm going to be continuously feeding us this because I'm trying to grow and I'm trying to get better. And the areas that I'm stuck in, I'm like, well, what do I got to do to grow? Who's good in these areas? Because I need the inspiration. So y'all are inspiring me. I'm hoping to give something to you. But I want to talk about self-love. And I get a lot of messages when I ask what topics should I cover on here. I get a lot of messages that say, can you talk about confidence, your self-confidence? And I could, you know, do a little thing on self-confidence, sure. But I don't know that I can give you secondhand self-confidence. I don't know that that's how it works. I think it's powerful to hear somebody talk about how they got there or what contributed to that. But the real root of confidence. I get a lot of people asking me how to make friends as an adult. I love that topic. But we can't really be successful in receiving information from those topics if we don't feel good about ourselves and if we don't love ourselves. And we can't really get better at loving ourselves if we don't recognize that we need to. And I do think a lot of us appreciate ourselves, or we'll say, I like myself. I love myself. Yes, I love myself. You know, we'll say, I do nice things for myself and I get myself the, you know, expensive cup of coffee, and that's all, that's great, but it's surfacey. And I want to get to this place where we like genuinely, we're like our own bestie, our own cheerleader, where we feel so good in our own skin, no matter what, where we're unfazed and all of the other areas of our life show that. And I was praying for us. I was praying for this podcast episode, and I was just asking God, like, give me meat and potato topic to present to the table to the listeners. Give it to me, Lord. And I meditated on it for a while, and this is what I really felt, is that we were created to love and to be loved. And we will not have full fulfillment in this life unless we are really good at loving and really good at receiving love. We're to give and receive love. And that's pretty basic because we're neutral to the word love. But you are not going to fully reach your max potential in this life of what we're supposed to find in fulfillment unless you're great at genuinely loving people and it becoming your first passion. Even above the Olympic skaters, dang it. Even if they're winning that dang gold medal, like I wish I was being a figure skater, they're not really going to be fulfilled unless they're great at loving people and that they're receiving love. I mean, that's tale as old as time. Wealthy people, celebrities. I just watched this interview this week. Now, I was watching it because I was down a conspiracy theory hole and it was this like Selena Gomez interview. Side note, if you're into conspiracy theories, she's one of my favorites. Anyway, but she was saying, I was like gaining all these riches, but I was sad and I was lonely. And she said, I had everything I could ask for. We've heard that so many times. And so the better you are at love, the better you are at loving people, then the better you are at receiving love, and then you become more lovable. And in all that, learning how to love people and getting loved back, you do have to form this love for yourself. And people who like themselves, it really shows. People who love themselves, it really shows. And I'm not talking about like arrogant. I'm not talking about the kind of like feeling myself mood and like a rap song, you know. I'm talking about like where you sleep good because you have done right by the Lord and who you are and your identity and yourself, and you're comfortable and you're present in moments because happy people show up for other people. And so what I can do is offer you this encouragement to have this conversation. Here we go back to self-reflection of, do you really like yourself? Like, do you love yourself? And while in this episode, we don't have enough time to fully get to like the white meat of it, I would rather trigger a conversation here, ignite a conversation of having this moment with yourself of, do I like myself? Do I like the life I've created for myself? But when I'm good with who I am I good, good? And we're doing this so we can be good to ourselves too. I love people who are good to themselves. And even when I was in jail, I noticed a lot of these girls were just really lacking this self-love, this like taking care of themselves, this nurturing, a protection of who they are. And I'm going to tell you what, really, truly, me, and how I talk to myself, me and me, we're good. I love that girl. I'll defend that girl. I'm her friend. She looks out for me. The me from 5 years ago did right by me now. The me from 10 years ago, she was looking out for me now. And if nobody else cheerleads me at the end of the day, I do. And I acknowledge my accomplishments and I acknowledge where I, in secret, did the right thing or didn't allow my heart to get hard or, you know, things kind of show. And so self-love leads to a confidence. It leads to this confidence of going out and loving like Jesus, a confidence of doing the right thing when it's hard, or this unsaid strength or peace. And I think a lot of us think we love ourselves. Like you might think like, I like these things about me, but do you really have this like true self-love to where it waters all the areas of your life? You'll hear me say 10 zillion times, everything leads to more of itself. The more you fill your cup, the more you have to give to other people. This is a huge lesson. And I have no doubt my prayer is that this crosses the ears of somebody that God wants to speak to say, do you know how much I love you? Do you know how great you are? And what does it take to be somebody who functions out of that? Because people who are loved function well. People who have had a good father who have told them how great they are, they live very differently than people who did not have that. And so it's this really important element to this whole thing called life. And the people who love themselves are the ones who can laugh and be present and have fun and enjoy and be proud. And your decisions can be shown in the light. There's not a lot of scurrying to cover up or to make things up or to run or to hide. Like they're present, they're loving, and they can show up and they can be proud of how they live their life. And that's an element of self-love. So I'm going to go through the 10 reasons that I came up with. Now, this was not just me. It was a collection of notes that I had had, thoughts I had, things I pulled from the Bible. And it was something I've been working on for this episode. And self-love is rooted first, obviously, in this understanding that God loves you first and he allows you to value yourself. When you have a God who tells you how great you are, and the whole Bible is this love letter written, the scriptures are nourishing your oneself. When you start absorbing that, it changes. And you recognize that this element of God overcomes insecurities. I frequently, in leadership, look for strengths in other leaders by how secure they are, because it's a sign that you are in alignment with scripture. So, okay, here are the top 10 ways you can know if you love yourself, starting with, and this is not in a particular order, starting with number 10, what does your self-talk sound like? How do you talk to yourself? Do you like yourself? If I asked you right now, if I said to you, tell me the things you like about yourself, would you have deep-rooted things and responses to say about yourself? Like, could you say, you know, not just like, hey, I'm great at my job, or I'm a really good, you know, cyclist or whatever, but could you say character things? So like, here's an example. If you ask me, what do you love about yourself? I could tell you that I really value soundness, and I try very hard, I'm very mindful to truly be myself in every single situation. That means in offense, that means in joy, that means in the best of days, the worst of days, people I like and people I don't like. In every situation, I try to come with an element of soundness. And that's very important to me. And I love that about myself. Could you give responses like that? Like, I love how I treat people. I love that I lead with kindness. I love, if your self-talk is strong and it's positive and it's good, then you are somebody who loves themselves. Number 9, can you identify other people who really love themselves? Are you attracting people in your life that love themselves and are good to themselves? That's a big one. You should have other really healthy people in your life. Your spouse should be healthy. Your children should be great at loving themselves because they had an example of somebody who really loved themselves. And there should be other people in your life. Yes, the ones that you give to who are learning to love yourself, but like your best friend should also really love themselves. And if you don't have that, it's a good sign that you don't love yourself. Number 8. You can take correction. Ouch. Ow, ow, ping, bing, 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 bing. That one hurt. People who love themselves can take criticism. They can take correction. They can handle harder conversations. They don't explode with emotion if they are presented with something that is hard or maybe not even correct or a lie or maybe just truly something they need to correct. They can receive it because they have confidence in the good of them and are open to the thought that there's also room for correction. People who love themselves have already spoke kindly to themselves through the harder things. And you can then be prepared to take on other harder things. So people are real defensive. Like if you say like, hey, I didn't think you did a good job of this, or you're bad at this, they usually don't love themselves because they're like little scrappy alley cats feeling like they just got to like start fighting. It's a really big sign that you don't love yourself. Number 7, are you insecure? People who are insecure do not love themselves. If you truly love yourself, then there's a security there. Just last night, I was with a table of my best friends at dinner. And I was like, yeah, I got some of the meanest Instagram messages this week, you know, cutting on my physical appearance. I was like, can I read them to you? It did not faze me at all because like look, Assess is feeling good out here. And I'll be darned if I get held up on one little person sending me something. I mean, it really can't touch me. It doesn't affect me. And I know who I am. I know who God says I am. And so, you know, little Joe Schmlo with one post, you know, you ain't gonna say much to me. And you can't hurt this heart, you know? So how secure are you, or how insecure are you? If I called you a name right now, would you lose sleep over it? Number 6, they don't have people in their life who treat them poorly. Not to say that you don't have weak people in your life, not to say that you don't have people that you're giving to or that have issues, things like that, but where there are not people who are like abusive or rude or unkind or mistreat you. We don't allow that. No, because I'm going to protect me, and I have rules and I have boundaries and regulations to how you will talk to me and how you'll treat me. I don't have people in my life who treat me poorly. I've never been in an abusive relationship romantically, friendship-wise. It doesn't happen because I look out for this girl and I'm defensive of her. And I know it's right. I know it's wrong. I know how I talk to myself, and you're sure not about to talk to me crazy. So you don't have people that treat you badly. I'll tell you right now, if you have a spouse in your life who is perpetually unkind to you, where you walk on eggshells with them, if they are rude to you, verbally abusive, emotionally, anything like that, physically even, you do not fully love yourself, because you wouldn't allow somebody to treat you like that. And that's one I watch people dance around a lot with excuses. That's a big one. Number 5. This is a big one. People who love themselves, more often than not, most of the time, they look happy. They look glowy and full of love and life. They're well taken care of. They do nice things for themselves. They invest into their interests and their needs and their hobbies. Now, I'm not saying you got to be materialistic or you got to have all this lip liner on like I do, but they look well loved. Do you know how good love looks on somebody? Like, do you ever see like a before after of a foster puppy or something? Love shows in the physical on everything. And so people who are well loved look well loved. You can see it in a relationship. All I got to do is look at you and I can know how healthy that relationship is. You will see the physical signs of it. If the more you love yourself, if everything leads to more of itself, your upkeep will be better, your regimens will be better, your hygiene's better, your workout routine is better, the amount that you invest into yourself is better, and you care for yourself. You give to yourself, you know what you need, you know what you like. Just as somebody would be good to somebody in a relationship, put that time and effort into giving into you. People who love themselves, check in with themselves, and meet those needs. Number 4. People who love themselves are not arrogant. And I see it used often as a way to convince themselves that they like themselves or that they're great. People who continuously talk about themselves and how good they are and how great they are and how excellent they are and how strong they are in all these areas, you'll hear it. Like they'll start, you know, they'll say it, or they'll say, I'm not a kind of person who... like they'll really go on and on and on and on, which kind of feels like that's what I'm doing now. No, I'm just kidding. But they're like talking themselves into, you'll know it. It's specific. They're talking themselves into how great they are. And when it starts bordering arrogance, I know you don't fully love yourself, because real love is this like silent power. And even in kind of like thirst trap photos, and I know we all know what we're talking about, you don't love yourself, because you wouldn't need that for validation. And as cliche as it is, like, oh, it comes from within, your beauty comes from within. It really does. Except it does. So that's a hard one. Number 3, the people in your life participate in loving and celebrating you also. I think that's a really good one. people who love themselves attract a lot of people. Like people who are really good at themselves can give to other people. They have a lot of friends. They have healthy relationships, healthy romantic lives. People that really love themselves attract people into their life. And because you've filled your cup, because you've been so good to you, now this isn't every single scenario, but most of the time, all the people that I know that genuinely really love themselves have really healthy people in their life too. And they attract that because we're attracted to things that are healthy. Number two, people who love themselves are forgiving, forgiving to themselves and forgiving to others. Now that's a different one, right? That's a kind of a unique, less cliche thing. It is such a sign of people who love themselves because part of this like whole human thing, this whole whatever's happening is mess ups, doing it wrong, missing the ball, screwing up, just doing stuff that's stupid. Like, have you ever just done something that was just so, it was just dumb. Like, I can't believe I let that happen. I can't believe I forgot it. I was so stupid. We're dumb. I mean, that's just what we are. And if you love yourself, you will go through rings and elements and layers of forgiving yourself and having to say like, dude, you messed up there and I forgive you and you're still great in these areas. It is not your identity. We're not going to function out of that. That is not who God says you are. It's not your end all. It's not your be all. And I forgive myself. I forgive myself for wasted time, wasted years. I forgive myself for not knowing then what I know now. You forgive yourself. And when you feel how good forgiveness feels and how much you love you, you love that freedom, you love yourself, you love it for yourself. When you've forgiven yourself, you're way better extending it to other people and you don't hold on to offense. You welcome conversations. You are so confident in the joy that comes with love. And those are very hand in hand. When I was listening to other people's videos on this topic, they often related joy back to loving yourself. I heard it frequently throughout every video. And they're forgiving. They don't get held up on people's mistakes. They don't keep tally of wrong because they don't do it to themselves. You hear me? Like, yeah, you feel me on this one? If you don't do it to other people, you're not doing it to you. And that's really big and powerful. And the number one, this is the only one that I do want it to be number one that holds a place of honor. And this is the number one thing I see in people who love themselves. And this has been a lesson that I have been uncovering for years. And finally, I put words to it about 6 months ago. People who love themselves are good at loving other people, forgiving other people, back to number two. And I had had a season where I had two of my very closest friends, oh man, they both were rejecting wisdom. And I watched both of them go down very, very scary, tumultuous paths. And I issued this call of warning to both of them simultaneously. It was like the same time. And I said to them, like, I'm begging you to incorporate wisdom into these decisions. I'm begging you to think big picture. And I was like pleading with them, you know, think about your life and your future and the choices you're making, please. And they, as tale as old as time, as people do, they wanted to go their own route and they wanted to kind of, you know, make a choice that I don't believe was rooted in wisdom. And I watched them flounder and pull away from good people in their life, pull away from wisdom and discernment and run from it. And I was really hurt, really, really hurt, specifically the one. And selfishly, and coming from a selfish place, and I knew the whole time, I was wrestling with it because it was somebody that I had really felt like I had went over and beyond for. Like I wanted to practice all the ways of loving somebody. I gave and gave and gave until there was no more. I offended people by how much I gave to that person. And I had people even say to me, like, you know, chill out, stop. And I try to not talk about situations where you give much, because the Bible says your left hand shouldn't know from your right hand when you give. But I say it as an example of, I poured more into this person than normal. And the rejection hurt, because I was like, dang, like, did none of that matter to you? And I'm not betraying you. I'm just begging you to make good choices. And you're so offended by that, that you're willing to kind of like hurt the friendship. And I wrestled with it for a long time, truly, genuinely wrestled with it. Really couldn't get over how hurt I was by it. And I knew that this is the fruit of bad choices. I knew that they were being selfish. I knew it was a bad path taken. I understand all that. There wasn't like real hurt in there, but I was just like, dang, why did the 35 good things I do for you not count for anything the instant you were offended? You know, I did right by you for years and years and years and years and years and tread with caution. But as soon as I see you running towards a flame, I'm like, no, 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 no. And now we're mad, you know, and I get it, right? There's nothing all that profound here. We all know what was actually going on, and the other people in our life knew what was going on, but my feelings were just really hurt. And I thought, I love you so much. And I thought, did you not value this friendship from me? Like, did it not mean anything to you? Like, to just walk, I can't walk away from people I care about. And I'm like, how do you just walk away when we care about each other? And I struggled with it so bad, really struggled with it. Prayed about it, presented it before the Lord. I felt the Lord say to me, listen, look at what bad choices they're making. They're not taking care of their life. They're making these decisions out of hopelessness and insecurities and sin, and they were not taking good care of their own life. There was no fruit. It was dead end after dead end after dead end, and it was all leading to this big tumultuous life. It wasn't somebody who was like succeeding that was doing this. You know, my really successful friends, we all walk in success together. We all encourage each other to do better. I don't have arguments with those people because they're happy. This was a situation with somebody who was not content. And I felt the Lord say to me, they're not taking good care of themselves. They don't really love themselves. And so if they're not good to themselves, and if they can't take care of themselves and nurture themselves, what made you think that they were going to be able to nurture you or treat you well or be kind to you or handle this relationship well? You thought you were the exception. They can't love themselves, but you thought they were going to be good at loving you. And it bulldozered me. I was like, you're right, Lord, you're right, you're right, you're right. And it was such a freeing thought that it released me, totally released me from that pain. And I thought, well, that's why they let it go, because I think they're so incredible. I love them so much, but that's because I love me and I know who God says I am and I know who God says they are. And so that all leads to more of itself, but they are not living in the identity of what Christ says they are. They don't love themselves. They're not good to themselves, and they weren't stewarding their life well. They weren't taking care of themselves. So how the heck did I think that they were going to take care of our friendship? You know, it's like, doesn't make sense. That's not a 1 + 1 = 2. And so it really helped me heal, really helped me make the connection. And that's my question to you. You know, people who are happy, who love themselves, who are happy in their life, who are thriving and making good choices and have a healthy home life and good relationships, a good love life, they're accepting, approachable, forgiving, and they are seeking companionship, restoration, friendship, love, community, growth. That's what happy people do. People who are in good places want to be in a good place in all areas. Everything leads to more of itself. And so when I made that connection, I'm like, they're struggling. You know, the people in my life who are happy don't nurse offense. They don't hang on to bad things. They don't get in dark places. They don't hide away. They don't shut people out. They don't cut people off. You know, like, health reveals itself in everything. So as we continue in this podcast, in this whole process of knowing who God says we are, loving ourselves, figuring ourselves out, bettering ourselves, learning love, learning compassion, on and on and on and on. Ask yourself these questions, and I hope that you will listen with a different ear. We will always continue more on this topic. Let me know what you think about this topic. And you know how you can do that? You can do that by subscribing to our show and leaving a really good review. You can listen predominantly on Spotify and Apple. Go and follow the show. Don't just search it every time you listen to it. It helps us out so much. And we will be back next Monday. Selly, I adore you. You matter. I hope you love yourself. I hope you love yourself, because I adore you so much. We will be back next week. All things love. Thank you guys. Bye-bye.